Take your Bible tonight, if you will, and let's go to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. While you're turning there, let me read the words to this song. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's a host of folks in our world today that sometime or other think, and many seemingly all the time, have the opinion that God doesn't care about them. Maybe you're here tonight, you kind of felt that way on occasion. Maybe in the time past, but today you're not so sure, you know. Does he care? Those folks in the eastern part of our country, those folks we mentioned down in Mexico, gone through traumatic, stressful, tragic experiences, they might be tempted to say, does Jesus care? Oftentimes things like that happen and people say God does not care. But I want you to know this, that's an absolute lie of the devil. Now, the Muslim God may not care. The Shinto God may not care. The Hindu gods, ever how many there may be of them, they may not care. But I guarantee you the God of the Bible does care. He cares. You say, well, preacher, how do you know? What do we know? What do we know that says he cares about me? Well, if God did not care, number one, he would not have said that he did. He would not have said that he did. Take your Bible to Numbers chapter 23 tonight. Numbers 23, fourth book in the Bible, the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 23. Here's what the Bible says about our God. Numbers 23, and down in verse 19, the Bible says this: God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? A God is not a man that he should lie. If he didn't care when he said he did, that would make him a liar. But we know that he's not a liar, all right? And he tells us there in 1 Peter 5 that he careth for you. It's enough if all he did, if he just said he cared, that ought to be enough to convince us that he does care, all right? You see, men sometimes lie. I know you find that shocking, but men sometimes lie. When they express concern for other people, they're really not telling the truth. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't say what he doesn't mean. Look, if you will, in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Hey, we'll just look at the Bible tonight. We believe it, so let's look at it and see some verses. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And then down in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We know that our God loves us. He says he loves us. You say, well, preacher, that's just words. That's just words. How do we know? What has he done? Boy, I tell you this, if God didn't care for us, he would not have sent his son to die. He would never have sent his son. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. How in the world could a Christian ever get the idea the Lord doesn't care about him when you know he gave his son for you? He gave his son to take your place. How in the world would you ever think somebody would do that for you, didn't care about you? Now, somebody that just claimed to care but never did anything, okay. But the Lord not only said he cared, but he gave his son to take our place. Now that you belong to him, how in the world can you think he doesn't care about you? How could you think he didn't care about you? Take your Bible, Ephesians chapter 2. Look with us here in the scripture. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Hey, the Bible picture is of a loving heavenly Father who cares for his children. That's the Bible picture of our God. Where our God and the God of the Bible is not one of those gods that you have to appease. He's not one that you've got to do this to appease him. And if you'll do this, and you know, there are those that worship gods, and you've heard of folks that worship false gods, and they would take their children and throw them into the volcano because they're trying to appease their God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't have to appease my God. He loves me, and same God loves me, loves you too, all right? He cares about you. He cared enough to send his son to die on the cross for you, to take your place, to die the death that you should have died. Man, do you ever just stop and think about that? Realize that that's what we deserve. Oh, no, not me. I'm a good guy. Oh, sure you are. Hey, I start to say when you're asleep, sometimes we even pretty wicked dreams, you know. We would like to make it sound like, and I'm a good person, yeah, when everybody's watching. But there's not a one of us there at some point or other. Even the kindest and the sweetest soul that you know, there's something in the background. There's something there that they would not want you to know. Oh, they got mad one time and just came unglued, you know. We like to overlook the things that we do. We like to look at our sin and say it's not as bad as somebody else's sin. But I got news for you. Sin's sin. God doesn't look at sin the way we do, you know, little sins and big sins. No, he said sin is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. To him that knoweth to doeth good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Not in categories. Now there's sin that hurts you more, because it'll destroy your flesh. But man, when it comes to the way God looks at it, he looks at us as a sinner. But he looks at us as a sinner that he loves. And he loved us enough. Hey, we have a Savior. You have a Savior because God cares about you. God cares about you. I mean, there's concern in him. So how do we know he cares? Well, I tell you what. If he didn't care, he wouldn't have given us the Bible. If he didn't care, he wouldn't have given us the Bible. Take your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, would you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just see what the Scripture says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's in front of Timothy, by the way. I have a lot of trouble remembering which one's first sometimes. But 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and 1 Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Oh, what a tremendous truth. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. This book. Hey, if he didn't care, he wouldn't have given us this book. He'd have never done that. Now, I've got some kids in school that probably would think that was a terrible thing, and that's proof that he didn't love us because they hate to read, all right? But the truth of the matter is, what a joy it is to know we have that book. You just stop and think about it. What a joy it is. You do not have to sit. You do not have to sit out there and just trust what I say. You can have that book, same book I've got. You don't have to just sit out there and think, well, I hope what he's reading is reading it right. Hey, there was a day when churches forbid people to have a copy of the scriptures and didn't want them to have the Bible, especially didn't want them to have the Bible written in their own language. And we owe a great debt to some people that, hey, they didn't just risk their life. They gave their life so we could have a copy of God's Word in English. I mean, they hid out and translated it out of another tongue so we could have it in English. We could sit down and read God's book. Hey, if he didn't care about you, he wouldn't have given you that Bible. You see, it's the Bible that teaches you how to know God. It's the Bible that teaches you how to know him. John 5, verse 39. You don't look like you believe me, so all right. John 5, verse 39. Here's what the Bible says. John chapter 5, verse 39. The Bible says this. Actually, the Lord says this, all right? He said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I'll just tell you the truth. I'm glad I know how God is and what he's like, and I know who he is because I got a book that tells me who he is. Now, there's people the world over that say, well, I think God is like this, and I think God is like this. Well, you're welcome to think anything you want to, but God gave us a book to tell us exactly how he is. So it wasn't left up us to gather together and have a communal meeting and everybody share how we feel God ought to be and then build a God that we want in our image. Instead, he said, this is what I am. This is a book and it testifies to me. If you want to know what God's like, read the book. Read the book. Just open it up. Hey, it's the Bible that reveals the will of God. The Bible gives you the will of God for you. You can know what God, the God who cares about you, you can know what he wants you to do. What a blessing that is. I'm going to ask you, have you ever had somebody get upset with you because you didn't do something? And you say, well, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. You ever been there? Well, why didn't you tell me that's what you wanted me to do? I can't read your mind. Well, God doesn't say, read my mind. Instead, he opens up the Word of God and he said, here's my mind. This is the mind of God. You want to know what God wants you to do? It's right here. Hey, he cared about you so much. He cared about you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. And he gave you a Bible that tells you what he's like and what he does and all the attributes of God. And he tells you the will, his will for you in that book he gave you. Here it is. You can read it. Well, I don't like to read. Well, okay, find another excuse. Hey, there it is. It's there. Hey, you've got a Bible. We have a Bible today because God cares about us. God cares about us. What a wonderful thing. You ever stop and think about Adam? We get We sometimes get aggravated at Adam. If hadn't been for Adam, we'd still be living in the Garden of Eden. Well, before you jump on him too heavy, remember, Adam didn't have a Bible. He didn't have the Bible. You do, and you still disobey it. So don't get too mad at Adam, all right? Don't get too mad about him. Hey, we have a Bible because God cares about you. Can I say this to you? If he didn't care about you, he would have never started a church. It had never started the church. You do understand the church is for believers. It's for believers. The Bible commands us to go to church. If you're saved, you're commanded to go to church. If you're lost, you're not commanded to go to church. The command is given to God's people. It's given to us. And yet, I talk to people that say, well, I don't think you got to go to church to be a Christian. Well, what else are you ignorant about, all right? What else do we need to spend some time helping you with? Look, here we are. The Lord started the church because he did not want his children cast adrift in this old world. Matthew 16:18, he said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look over in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to look at one verse here. Hey, it's because the Lord started church. Ephesians 3, would you look at verse 10? Just to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Hey, he put the church here for a purpose. He started the church for us. He started the church because he cares about you. You know, you would think, talking to some Christians, that they believe God started the church as a drudgery. We gotta go to church. Oh, my soul. I remember hearing somebody say, no, it's not we got to, we get to. And that is true. We get to go. We get together with other people that we don't like. Well, no, I don't mean that. I'm kidding. I see people, I see folks in our church hugging each other. I've yet to see anybody hug anybody and then stab them in the back while they got them held, all right? Hey, God gave us a church. He put us in the church. Why? Because he cares about us. He didn't want us adrift in the world. He wanted us together where we would focus on his book. And our hearts and our minds would get focused on the Word of God, that we might spend some time. And so we could study it together and be challenged together, because he didn't want us carried about with every wind of doctrine, just everywhere. That's what Ephesians 4:14 says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Hey, it's okay if a child can be deceived when it comes to spiritual things. But it's not okay if you've been saved for a while. You ought not to be able to be deceived so easily, because we have the Bible. We have the church. God put it there. And it's a place where his word could be taught. His word could be expounded. It's a place where we would come and gather together to know more of this book, all right? I said this morning, we can never plumb its depths. Care how far we go and how deep we go, we'll never plumb the depths of the truth that's in the Word of God. There's more there than we'll ever get figured out. And it's there for us. It's there for us so we wouldn't be deceived. It's there for us so that we won't be carried about. People so easily swayed. If the Jehovah's Witness come to your door, you shouldn't be deceived by them. Shouldn't be deceived. If the Mormons come to your door, You shouldn't be deceived by that. If you hear Muslim doctrine, as far as I know, they don't go door to door. But if you hear that, you shouldn't be deceived by that. You should not be deceived. And what you hear from them ought to always be checked with Scripture. Now, don't check it in the Jehovah's Witness translation. They translated a book so it would match what they teach. Rather than teaching what the Bible teaches, all right, they just wrote a book that teaches what they want to teach. So don't be deceived by that. Hey, in the church that believers have been provided with, in the church that believers have been provided with, it helps us to grow towards perfection. Perfection. Still got your Bible open in Ephesians? Look at 4 verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now what was that? For some extracurricular parachurch organ? No. It's for the church. All right, to the church. Notice verse 12. All of those were given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why they're here. That's why we have apostles. That's why God gave them. That's why there were prophets. That's why there are evangelists. That's why there's pastors and teachers. Why? To edify us so that it'll help in the perfecting of the saints. Well, I'm not perfect. No, but we ought to be trying harder. We ought to be working on it. And we ought to be climbing higher and higher every day. And we ought to be headed that direction. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. But that doesn't happen while you're outside the will of God. That doesn't happen while you're outside the house of God. That happens because you get in the church of God. You participate in it. Well, I do this or I do that. Yeah, and you're not much of a Christian either. Now, I'm not saying that to you. You're here, but somebody's going to listen out there. Well, I stay at home and watch it on TV. Now, there's some that don't have any choice, and I understand that, and God bless your heart, okay? But, hey, you want to get something out of it, then go. Participate. We have a church. Why? Because God cares about you. God cares about you. He didn't give you a church to persecute you, to make you feel pained, to make you feel left out. No, he gave you a church so it could edify you and help you, so you could grow and be what God wants you to be, so you could be faithful there. So the next time somebody says, well, how do you know the Lord cares about you? Well, he said he did. Then he proved it when he sent his son to die on the cross for me. He proved he cared for me. How do you know he cares for you? Because he gave me a book. He gave me a book that helps me to understand God. This little old finite mind that we have, as much as can be, this book helps us to understand God. The more I read it, the more this little old finite mind looks at God and says, wow. I don't have him figured out. I won't ever have him figured out. How do you know he cares for you? Because he gave me a local church to go to. He gave me a local church to go to. Let me go back to that song that I was reading for you. I hope I remember the page. There it is. Read that last verse again. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I know he cares. Hey, God cares about you without a doubt. The real question is, do you care about God? That's the real question. The real question is not, does he care about me? Good heavens. What more proof do you need than what you've been given? He cares about you. Do you care about him? Do you take the time to open the book he gave you and read and study it? He gave it to you because he cares about you. You care enough about him to read what he says? Hey, do you believe what he says to you in that book? Do you believe what he says? Hey, have you trusted his son as your personal savior? Are you faithful? Are you faithful to the local New Testament church that he started because he cares about you? Hey, I like people pointing the finger at God. Man, who do you think you are to accuse God when he's given to us and given and given and given again? And then we complain. We complain. God's been good. He's proven he cares. And how much do we prove to other people we care about him? Care about him enough to do what he says to do. Do what he says. Oh, you've got your excuse. You've got your puny argument.
Well, he didn't do everything to me. I wanted it done.
Well, bless your little heart. Where'd we get the idea that everything's got to be our way? Where do we get the idea everything's got to be our way? Man, that's a latter-day idea that's come along because man's put too big a value on himself. And we think we deserve it all. Hey, we're so blessed that God would die for us. If he never did anything past saving your soul, forgiving your sin, giving you a home in heaven, he doesn't owe you one thing beyond it. He didn't owe you that. You ought not to gripe if you get to heaven. Man, the very idea. I think there may be some people, I've met people in this old world that I think their mindset is such every now and then in heaven, God's going to have to open up and say, you could be there. Because we're so griping, complaining bunch of folks. You could be in the lake of fire. Now, the truth of the matter is that's false doctrine, I just said. It's never going to happen. You said, why not? Well, for one thing, when we get to heaven, before we get there, we're all going to be changed. We'll be changed. We won't have the feebleness we have here. Our mind won't be so twisted that we think everything's about us. We won't think that way anymore. Oh, but man, I sometimes there's folks I would like to say, you could be in hell, but you're not. You're not. Hey, does Jesus care? Oh, yes. He cares. He cares. You mark it down. He cares about you. But preacher, I'm nobody. That's true of all of us. We're all a bunch of nobodies. But he cares about us. He cares about us. You get in the New Testament. You get in the New Testament. Did you notice in the New Testament, as you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do you notice the people Jesus deals with? Do you notice he doesn't spend a lot of time in the palace? He spent his time out on the shores of a lake. He spent his time walking along searching for the pool where all those folks were that were infirmed, waiting for the water to be stirred. That's where he went. That's where he went. He went to those blind beggars that cried out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Even though people next to them said, Would you hush? They just cried out the more. Jesus didn't come to one of them and say, Would you quit disturbing the peace in this city? Now, he came to those people. He came to the people that were blind. He took time with the leper. He took time with the leper. He took time with the man who could not hear. He took time with those who could not walk. He spent his time not with the elite, but he spent his time with what I would call just common, everyday, ordinary folks. You know what? Nobody's just like we are. Nobody important. Well, I'd like to have you know I'm important. I have 10,000 followers on TikTok. Hey, so what? What does that give you? All it gives you is 10,000 followers on TikTok. Hey, which one of those followers would die for you? Well, we're warped today. We serve a God that likes us. He cares about us. He cares about you. Don't you ever doubt it. You want something to worry about and fret over. You look and think, how much do I care about him? How much do I care about what he thinks about me? How much do I care about what he thinks about what I do? How much do I care about that? Hey, that's where our concern ought to be. Am I pleasing him? Am I pleasing him? Am I putting a smile on his face? Or am I just doing my own thing, counting on him to take me to heaven, and that'll be good enough? Oh, he cares. Oh, yes, he cares. But do you? Our Heavenly Father, would you help us to be honest tonight with ourselves? Sometimes we get to feeling weary. We get to feeling downhearted. We get to feeling a little bit sad, forlorn. Begin to feel sorry for ourselves. And we begin to think, does Jesus really care? Does God care about me? But Lord, if we would stop and think, you've proved that you care. You care for us. But Lord, instead, would you help us to look and think, do I care about him? How much do I care about what he says, what he thinks? How much do I care about his will for my life? And Lord, would you help us to be concerned there? Lord, would you bring conviction if it needs to be there? And Lord, help us to do tonight an invitation what you'd have us do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand, please? Let's sing page 17, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. When's the last time you let him have his way in your life? His way, not yours. Sing it tonight, if you would. If you need to come, you come.
Thine own way, thou art the potter, I am the clay, mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Sing that next verse, would you?
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Try me, Master, today.